Now, he then shows this gratitude by saying this, verse 9. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And friends, I don't suppose that you and I could possibly conceive of the thanksgiving that was in that man's heart and life when the fish vomited him out on the dry land, and he was a mess at that time. But I tell you, he lifted his voice in thanksgiving to God for having delivered him and raised him from the dead. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Do you know what his vow was? Can't you imagine what it was? He said, I'll go to Nineveh. Before he said, I won't go to Nineveh. He's changed his mind. God has changed it for him. And he now makes a vow. He said, Lord, I'll go to Nineveh. And you know the Lord has to deal with many of us like that. He never did put me through a fish, but he gave me cancer. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not blaming him for it. He judged me. And then he's chastised me since then, because I thought I'd learn all the lessons that an old man ought to learn, but I found out I hadn't learned them. And I am prepared to say the same thing. I can be thankful to him for what he's permitted to come to me and then to deliver me from it. And I've made vows to God. I've promised him that I give the rest of my life to just giving out the Word of God. And that's the reason I do it the way that I do, is because that's what I'm called to do. Someone suggested to me many things to put into the program, certain gimmicks, to put into the program music, to do it differently. No, I made a vow to God, and I'm going to keep it, that I'd give out the Word of God the best I know how. Now, I understand a great many people that find fault and don't like the way I do it, and I'm not entirely satisfied. I wish I could do it better. But, friends, that's the vow, and I know the vow this man made. He said, I'm going to Nineveh, Lord, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Now, will you notice the statement that I've already called attention to? Salvation is of the Lord. Now, that's the latter part of verse 9 here. Now, again, in my judgment, in my book, I would say that this is the most important statement that you find in the book of Jonah. And that is something, again, that I think is very, very important. Now, will you notice here, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's deliverance. Now, there's several things about this that we need to know. Salvation, friends, is God's work for us. Salvation is never man's work for God. You see, God cannot save us by our works, because the only thing that we can present to him is imperfection, and God just does not accept imperfection. He won't do that. You have to present to him perfection, and that's the only thing that God will accept. Now, you and I are unable to present it. Therefore, if it depended on us or our works, we could never be saved. If it depended on us doing something, to begin with, we're lost sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. And if deliverance is to come, it'll have to come to us just like it came to Jonah, dead and hopeless in that fish. If he's to live, if he's to be used of God, and he is going to be, it's because salvation is of the Lord. And if you ever get saved, it's because salvation is of the Lord. Now, salvation is such a wonderful thing that actually you can put it into three tenses. That's the thing that I have done, and I believe that that's the thing that is very important. May I put it like this? I have been saved, past tense. I am being saved, present tense. I shall be saved, future tense. So salvation is God's work from beginning to end. Let me look at that for just a moment, scripturally. I have been saved. The Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. The moment you trust Christ, you have everlasting life. That is something that took place in the past, as far as those of you that are listening to me today that are Christians. Sometime in the past, you trusted Christ. That was all his work. You trusted what he did. He that believeth on the Son hath life. You receive life when you trusted Christ and did nothing, nothing whatsoever. He offered it to you as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we can say, I have been saved. How was I saved? By trusting Christ, his work. And it was not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it was according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, God's not through with us at that time. He intends to work in our lives. And we're told to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, you can't work it out until somebody's worked it in. You have to have it before you can work it out. And you and I are to work out our salvation. So Paul could say, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, that's great, but he didn't stop there, you see. He kept talking. And the thing that he said was this. He says, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship, yes. Created in Christ Jesus. Given a new life, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, so that now by the power of the Holy Spirit, the child of God is to produce fruit. In fact, he says, I want you to bring forth much fruit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. All of those marvelous, wonderful graces are his work, but he wants to work them in you today. And you and I ought to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. So I am being saved. I ought to be a better Christian today than I was last year. I get a little discouraged in that field because sometimes I think I'm like the proverbial cat that climbed up 3 feet on a pole in the daytime and then slip back 5 at night. I feel like that I don't get very far. But nevertheless, I trust there has been some growth. Now, salvation is of the Lord. I will be saved. There is coming a day when I will be saved. You remember that Paul said to that young preacher, Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then he kept talking about that wonderful fact of the Word of God, that it's able to make you wise unto salvation. Well, what did he mean that it's able to make you wise unto salvation? Well, when Timothy was already saved, from our viewpoint, it would enable him to grow. It would enable him to live for God, as we've indicated. But you see, even when we come to the end of life, we are not complete. Even Dwight L. Moody, that great evangelist, you remember, he said, when I was a boy, I heard Henry Varley, an unknown preacher at that time, and he was sitting in the balcony, he heard him say, God has yet to see what God can do with a man that is fully yielded to him. And Dwight L. Moody, a young fellow at that time, he says, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And when Dwight L. Moody was dying, he said, when I was a boy, I heard Henry Varley say that God has yet to see what God can do with a man that's fully yielded to him. He said, I wanted to be that man. But it's still true that the world has yet to see what God can do with a man that's fully yielded to him. And I'm of the opinion that when you and I get to the end of life, it'll still be true of you and me, that it can still be said the world is yet to see one completely yielded to God. So don't be discouraged with me if you are, and I guess some of you are, and I won't be discouraged with you, because, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him someday, and then we're going to be like him. Until then, I'll probably be very unlike him. Maybe you will make it. I don't think I will, but in that day, I'll be like him. And at that time, you're going to be delighted with me, friends. You're really going to love me. And that's one of the things that's going to make heaven so wonderful. You know what it is? It's not that I'm going to love everybody, and I think that's true, but everybody's going to love me. It's not going to be wonderful when you get to heaven, because you're going to be that kind of person. I say, this is a wonderful statement. Salvation is of the Lord. That's back in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Jonah. And you know where a man learned that? He learned that when he was swallowed by a fish, and then when he was vomited out, why he could make this statement. Now, will you notice verse 10? And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And friends, I can't resist making this corny statement. It just proves that you can't keep a good man down. Even the fish couldn't. And someone else has put it like this, that even a fish couldn't digest Jonah, a backsliding prophet. But he's a different man now. He's made some vows to God, and one of them is he's going to Nineveh. His ticket is to Nineveh.